Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host today, and I am delighted that we have an awesome topic on innovate, navigate, and accelerate. Very powerful words. I'm excited to introduce our leading lady today, and our leading lady is Sabrina Pierce, and she is the managing partner in Navigator Sales and Marketing. And I think for all of us in business, we're always selling something, ourselves, our services, our business, our careers. So I'm delighted to hear what Sabrina is going to tell us about innovate, navigate, and accelerate. And Sabrina, welcome as our leading lady, and say hello to all of our listeners.
Hi, thank you so much for having me today. I'm so excited, and hi to everybody out there. So looking forward to today.
We'll just say out there in radio land, in podcast
in radio land,
right? I mean,
yeah.
in the lady land, because we're all about lady power, Sabrina. You're in a good place right now. I love it. And you're all about power and influence. So I'm dying to kind of hear a little bit of, you know, I mean, I love these words, innovate and navigate and accelerate. I'm curious what that, you know, kind of means to you in business and why those are such powerful words.
Yeah, it became the tagline for our company, Navigator Sales and Marketing, and we, you know, we used it in terms of how we evaluated and brought brands to life, and then I realized how powerful it was personally and from a career standpoint, because I looked back at my career, you know, in corporate, and you know, you had to be a step above everybody, right? And so you really had to be innovative. And then you really had to know how to network. That was one of my biggest downfalls as an early manager, was that ability to network, which is navigating that landscape within your organization. And then growth. It is all about growth, whether it's a company's, you know, bottom line or your own personal career growth. And that's where the accelerate came from. And so I realized it was a company tagline that became a personal tagline for me.
I love that. And I mean, you came from the grocery business, is that right? So tell us a little bit about your corporate background, if you don't mind.
Yeah, so I don't, you know, I always wonder, does anybody come out of college and say, I want to sell groceries for my career? I don't know. And
I
talk to
so
many people.
I don't think so.
Yeah. CEOs of retailers. And you kind of just do it. I know one of the things that my dad said to me early on was people have to eat, right? So regardless of what they eat, they have to eat and drink. And so it was a great industry. But I've been in the industry a long time just on different sides of the business, which has made, I think it has helped me when I launched the business. So when I graduated from Spelman College in Atlanta, and came out and worked in banking for a couple of years, and then I went back to business school. And the interesting thing for me is I still didn't know exactly what I wanted to do, and so I did internships. And I did three different internships. One was March of Dimes because I was exploring nonprofit. The other was the Chicago Bulls because I love the Chicago Bulls. I loved sports. Sports marketing was near and dear to my heart. I loved it. And then my third internship was with Dominick's Food Stores in Chicago, which eventually became Safeway. And so when I graduated, I took a job with Jewel Osco in Chicago. And I started out, here I have an MBA in marketing from University of Chicago, and I started out in the grocery stores bagging groceries because it was it was a corporate training program, and it was their first mm-hmm. year of actually bringing MBAs into that program. And so it was the best experience because I learned the business from the ground up, and I ran produce department, and I went inside and ran a couple of desks as category manager. And that's what got me in the business. And then I moved from Chicago to Atlanta, and so I took a job with Campbell's Soup where I led category management for the Kroger team. So it was one where I brought over the title as a category manager at Jewel. Then I became a category manager at Campbell's Soup. Totally different job, but I was able to parlay those experiences over. And then I spent the majority of my career with Frito-Lay, actually. And so after leaving Campbell's, I did, you know, sales roles, marketing roles, all of that for the Frito-Lay PepsiCo organization. So still in the food business, still calling on customers, still understanding the retail side. And then I got a call one day from the president of Albertsons in Southern California, which actually the same parent company that owned Jewel Osco. So I kind of went back to where I started and became a senior vice president at Jewel at Southern Cal Albertsons division. And so I went right back into retail. So I stayed there just for a few years. And when I left, my husband and I said, you know, well, he mostly said, you've been doing this for so long. You know both sides of the desk. You've created all of these partnerships and friendships and associations across the country. Why don't you do this for yourself instead of going back and working for a man?
Yes.
Oh, he's awesome. And that's why he is the founder, actually, and co-partner of Navigator Sales and Marketing. And so that's what we did, and we stepped out there on faith and kind of used our relationships over the years. And now, you know, we've been in business for a little over 5 years, and, you know, we have products in about 15,000 stores across the country. And so we really just built it up, but it was built on that having that grocery and that consumer packaged goods background.
Well, I got to back up on so many things because I was like, man, you're on like this, you know, crazy, awesome story. And I'm like, those are some big, big companies, you know, to kind of have a corporate career in and talk about, I'm sure, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great that you saw as a result of that. I came from banking myself. But, you know, backing up to, you know, when you were in the grocery business, I mean, where does the innovate, you know, like where does that come from? Like, what are you thinking that professional women, you know, need to do in innovation? And I definitely want to flip forward in a little bit and we'll talk about your business. But what does innovation, you know, innovation mean for some of our listeners and what they can do differently in their career or in their business?
Well, I think it's about thinking differently. I found in my career early on, I went 200% of what was asked of me. And if you needed a spreadsheet or if you needed this or you needed that, I was there. I was on time, if not early. It was right. And so I tended to put my head down and do the job and didn't get beyond that job. And so I backed up and thought about, you know, what else can I bring to the table? And I'll just jump to it. For me, my mantra became hindsight, insight, foresight. And
I love that.
Because so much of our jobs is looking back at what we did, whether it's personally, right, this is what I did, or whether it's, you know, career-wise, running grocery business, it was always about what did we do last year, or even consumer packaged goods. Did we overlap last year? Are we up or down versus a year ago? Are we up or down versus a week ago? I mean, in the grocery business, I ran sometimes, you know, we do these eight-hour sales, and I literally, our team would pull how we perform from 8 to 9 a.m. this time versus last 8-hour sale from 8 to 9 a.m., right? And so much of our lives is built on what we did yesterday or what we did last year, and no one ever really stops to say, well, was that right? Like, we're sitting here looking at, did we overlap last year? Maybe last year wasn't good. And so how do you be insightful? And that's what I call hindsight. And I say so many people are stuck in that hindsight. Then there's the insight, right, of, okay, so what are the insights? What's happening today that we can drive to make this different? But the big piece that so many people miss is the foresight, and that's where the innovation comes in. So that is, what are people going to be doing in 10 years? Now I know what they did a year ago, and I know what they're doing now, but what are they doing in 10 years? And that's the kind of stuff that you can bring to your boss to be to show that innovation, to show that you're a strategic thinker, and to show that you're thinking outside of the box. And it helped me early on to start bringing some of those insights and foresights into what my job was. And it made me look and act more strategically and think and lead more strategically, all by just being more innovative.
I love that. You know, I mean, touch on, and this is where, again, we're like little rabbits that go all over, but, you know, I mean, I love this stuff. And I think back on my career and, you know, I'm looking at my hindsight and going, what did I learn from that? But when you look at companies and you know that there's good cultures and progressive cultures and ones that, you know, maybe miss the mark a little bit, you know, as professional women, I know I've heard women will say, Sabrina, that they'll go, you know, I bring up ideas and nobody bites, I'm not heard. Or it's like, you know, it's like we just get with the same old, same old. How would you, you know, I'm going to get to your second word, which is, how would you suggest women navigate that? Because I do think, you know, one of the common things among women is that, you know, we're told we're supposed to speak up. We're told we're supposed to manage our careers or navigate our careers, which that you might have a different way that you have that word and how you can do that. But what would be some suggestions you have of paying attention of when it's a good time or a not good time to bring up some of these innovative ideas at the company level? Because there's a good time and a bad time, right?
There is. I think there are probably more good times than not, because sometimes it's just simply in repetition. But the first thing I tell women in terms of speaking up is, first of all, many of us are speaking up and no one's listening, or we think no one's listening, or I can't tell you how many folks I run into where they say, I was in a meeting and I had this great idea and I said it, and then 5 minutes later, this guy named Joe says the same thing. And then all of a sudden, the whole table's rallying around Joe for my idea. Yeah. So the first thing I say is, and then what happens to that female when she's ready to speak again? She doesn't want to speak up because someone else is going to snag that idea again and it becomes a great idea. And so I tell women all the time, own your ideas. Take back those ideas, because, and I've had it happen to me, and I've done this where it happened, and I'll use Joe again, and I had an idea. Joe said it 5 minutes later. The boss was like, oh, my gosh, Joe, that's a great idea. Then I immediately spoke back up and said, I agree, Joe, that was a great idea. And when I said it 5 minutes ago, I love how you added a little bit to it, right? I mean, I owned it, and I took it back. And so that's one of the things I find is take back and own your ideas.
That's a great strategy. That is great, Sabrina, because, you know, I mean, literally, that is what women will say, and I've experienced it, and I'm a pretty vocal gal, you know, but I've heard some of our other women in our association that will say, you know, I'm not heard. It's like I have an idea, but that, what I love that you said, and this right goes right back to what you said about navigating, is you touched on the elephant in the room, but you did it in a positive way and just, like, added to it, and you owned it. I love that. Love that. That's the best thought and perspective I've heard anybody say about how to be heard and how to own it. I love that. You know, tell us a little bit more about what your kind of thoughts are on, you know, kind of, you said networking and how important networking is in your industry. And I know that's a little bit about, again, still navigating your career. Can you offer some advice or insight? Because so many women that are in corporate America, let's say specifically, not small business, America, but corporate, they'll say, oh, you know, I have everything I need here in my company, but how can a woman navigate and network within their own organization?
Yeah, I'm saying all of this from experience, and I was never, ever good at it. And I, you know, we started having kids, and the kids are young, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to put my 200% in, but, and even if I worked late, I would still miss a company event, because in my mind, I was like, well, I don't need to go grab coffee with this person or go grab wine with these folks. I see them all the time. Let me stay here and get this project done. And then these promotion opportunities come up and you don't get them, right? And so you wonder, well, why? And it's because no one knows who you are because you haven't taken that time outside of the day job to really get to know them. And so literally life changed and career changed after I started to navigate that. And I did it very strategically because I didn't have a lot of time, but I chose, at my company, I chose one of our business resource group or employee resource groups and helped to launch, it was a women of color organization for PepsiCo, and I helped to launch it and I helped to lead it for the Frito-Lay division. And that became my extracurricular. That became, I can go to this reception. And my level of exposure to the senior folks was awesome. I mean, it was, so I did it very, very strategically because, A, I was very passionate about making a change for women of color. And then it gave me that experience and exposure to senior leaders. And then when they're sitting in that room and they're making those decisions on those promotions, they not only know me, but they've actually experienced my leadership style and my leadership capabilities. And so I chose that organization along with another one that I actually am still very involved in, which is Network of Executive Women. So within the grocery industry, we were really big in that organization at PepsiCo, and I'm now the co-chair for the chapter here in Southern Cal. But I just took those two organizations and said, this is how I'm going to navigate. I can make change in people's lives, and I can navigate this corporate environment and the politics, and then I can give back.
I love it. You know, so many women, I can hear so many women, like when you were talking about, you know, you were saying, hey, I got involved. I took this on. It's like, you know, I got involved in this, you know, women's initiative and, you know, whatever you call it, like ERG group or, you know, the kind of initiatives going on. And I'm curious because I can hear so many women that will be saying, what? I don't have time with that, with the kids and family and my career. And it's like, you know, getting everything done. What would be, you know, your suggestion to women that are thinking that way? Because I can hear it all over America right now on our show. They're going, no, I don't have time for that. But you've got to make time for it.
This way, I was climbing the corporate ladder at a major organization like PepsiCo with 6 kids. And I always tell people, if I can do it, anybody can do it. For me, it was literally focus. Like, that's what I needed. Mm-hmm. I needed the focus because my heart tells me, you know, when it comes to wanting to get involved, and if I make the decision to get involved, then I want to just do everything, and I don't have time to do everything. So I was never one that was kind of in the middle. I was like, I'm either going to do nothing or I'm going to do everything, and neither one of those answers is the right answer. So I decided to do was just focus, and then that way it was these two organizations, and that was it. And it was so, you know, once I got into it and I learned how to network, then I loved it, right? And then every time somebody wanted me to do something, like, oh, yeah, I'll come to that. No, I can't do all of that, right? So just you choose what you want to do and where you feel like you can make a difference and where you feel like you can get that exposure, and you just go deep on those. And I think so often I always talk, you can either go wide and get involved in 10 things or go deep and get involved with one or two. And just that decision to just say I'm sticking to these two allowed me to step up and be a leader and let that be seen in the organization, and I reaped all the benefits from that, just focused.
I like that. I like that. Well, and I know we're not going to be able to go deep on this, but, you know, doing all these things we're talking about with the innovate and the navigate, you know, being visible, how does that benefit one's career? You know, I mean, being visible, I guess this is what I see women do so much, is they think working hard is what's going to get them ahead.
Yeah.
And yet you watch men who navigate, I'm using your words, who will navigate mm-hmm. out on the golf course, and they make those great connections and relationships. I mean, many women will say that they just don't have access like men do. And again, what would you suggest for women and how they can accelerate, you know, their opportunities along with what you've already said?
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is, you know, what is that golf course for you, right? And it's finding out what that is. I remember one time, historically, this one team I had done this annual golf outing every single year. And then the year I took over the team, I made it a golf and spa outing. And so I thought I was going to I was like, I want to do something for me. And so it was, but the funny thing is that the guys that had been on my team, had been on that team all those years under another leader, had always done it, had always played golf. And so the year that I switched it, do you know every single male on my team chose spa?
Seriously. Oh, that's funny.
You never know. But I think a lot of it, what I call, and I got this from a friend of mine that said this one time, but I always say put pep in your step is the way I remember it. And by pep, I mean P-E-P, performance, exposure, and perception. And the performance is the foundation. Like, you're not going to get promoted unless you're performing, but that is only the first part. And that's what I was saying early in my career. That's the part I had down. I was 200%. I mean, I was going to beat mm-hmm. my plan. I was going to do everything because that performance was what I thought would get me promoted. And it was when I started to see those others promoted, I realized, well, what am I missing? Most of the time, we're missing that E in that. So exposure, that was the navigating the landscape. That was attending those events where you were going to be seen and get a chance to say hi to the CEO or whatever it was. Those opportunities mm-hmm. for that golf course coming out of the office, that exposure. And then the last one was perception. And a lot of times we miss this. If you think to yourself, well, how am I performing? How am I doing? What do I think people are saying about me? You flip that to others around you, it could be a very different story. And you really have to know what that perception of you is in the organization, because then you can make change. And so that's why it's always been for me, put that pep in your step, your performance, that exposure.
I like that.
And and the perception of you.
So touch a little bit more on the perception part. So what would you suggest women do to kind of amp that up? Like, you know, from go ask colleagues, go ask your, you know, your manager. It's like, what would you suggest to kind of get the feedback on what other people's perceptions are of you, you know, good or critical?
Oh, yeah. It's about relationships. It's going back to kind of navigating. So I'm going to back up and mention one other thing about relationship development, and that is everybody should have their own board of directors or their own organizational chart or your own sphere of influence, whatever you call it, that is inclusive of people inside the organization, outside the organization, in your industry, outside of your industry, higher level than you, lower level than you. I formed that group. And so I always had people that I could call for different things. And so one of the people that was in my peer of influence was a very high-ranking person in HR. She didn't necessarily make the decision on me or my role or even my department, because she was HR over actually another department, but she was in that room. And I made, you know, we made connections through some of the work, you know, extracurricular work I was doing at Frito-Lay at the time with Network of Executive Women. And I asked her, I said, hey, can we grab lunch? I'd love to hear what's being said. And we formed this great relationship and friendship, and she shared some of the things that were said. So when this promotion came up, what did they say about Sabrina Pierce? And we had an open and honest and candid conversation, and I was actually able to make a change, because it truly was a misperception of me on one particular instance, and I was able to make that change. And so I think so often we feel that we've got to look in our organization, look into our, you know, the folks that are right above us. I mean, things like that. And it goes so far beyond that. And so here I was able to get this invaluable information that wasn't shared to me by people in my department. And I was able to make a career change, get a promotion after just fixing what that perception was.
Oh, that's fabulous. I mean, what I love about you, girl, and it's like, you know, and trust me, I'm peeling back the layers on you. It's like, you know, you're a superstar. You're one of our award recipients for the Emerging Women-Owned Business Award with our Women of Influence Award. So congratulations on that earlier
Thank
this
you.
Year. And I imagine you have many awards, I'm thinking, with what you do. But on our last couple of minutes here, and if you can take like a minute, share with our listeners, like, what is the overview of what Navigator Sales and Marketing, because this is your business, and now that I understand it, you and your husband are the founders, correct?
Right.
So
yeah,
tell us
so
a little
we
bit
are,
about it.
Yeah, well, we're food brokers, so go figure, right? It's in food, and so we actually
really?
Work
Food?
With,
I don't get it.
Yeah, you can't get that? So
exactly.
We actually work with consumer packaged goods companies, and we basically become their sales arm, their, you know, as their broker. And we take their brands and we go into all the headquarters of, you know, Albertsons, my old stomping grounds, and Jewel, my old stomping grounds, and all these retailers across the country, and we sell their products in. And so we get to work with these really innovative companies that might even be new to market. And then we also get to work with really big brands like a Hallmark greeting cards that everybody knows, because they had a very niche opportunity, you know, where Navigator was a fit. But basically, we are the representation and the sales arm for companies that are manufacturing products for the grocery industry.
Girl, I mean, so you actually help businesses get shelf space. I mean, that's what you do, because
yeah,
that is so hard for entrepreneurs to get in the food business, right?
It is so hard. And I honestly, one of the reasons I did this was I looked back at my role as a senior vice president, and I realized how many companies I didn't even meet with, right, and how many, how much great innovation there was out there for companies that would have no idea how to call a grocery retailer and get in. And so that's really where we started the whole innovate part of our tagline, was let's look for innovative opportunities for big brands and then an opportunity to bring retailers truly unique, innovative products that aren't on the market yet.
So I'm telling you, Sabrina, it's like I want to have you back for another show just on that alone, because seriously, that is such a big thing for small businesses and, you know, that are product makers, that they just can't figure out how to get into big box stores, which maybe isn't your niche, or maybe it is, and then how to get, you know, a little bit of shelf space, any shelf space. I've seen salsa companies that it's fabulous salsa, but they couldn't get any shelf space in the grocery stores. But I would imagine they didn't understand how to do that, which is awesome that you do that.
That's the navigation piece, is that having, if I didn't have those relationships, it wouldn't be this easy. It's not easy to do, but it would be so much harder if I didn't have those relationships. And that's really where that navigation came from throughout my career. That's led us to even naming the company Navigator.
And I'm going to ask you, it's like, are you going to come out with a book that says Innovate, Navigate, Accelerate? I hope so. Is a book forthcoming? Because I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I think you should. I know some people, if you want to know, I'm going there. Oh, my gosh, how
awesome.
Funny. You know, I'm gonna ask my final question because we're almost out of time. But seriously, you can't even say no to me. I would love you back to talk more about, you know, how entrepreneurs, you know, can get their way into the grocery stores and the bigger companies, you know, with the food products. But, and you'll say yes, of course, yes?
Of course, because I've got radio land.
There you go. That's right, because
we got you on
radio. You're like, no way. But, you know, we're going to wrap up with this because we only got like a minute left, but I always want to leave every radio show guest and have you inspire all of our listeners or leave us with something good. But, I mean, this was fabulous. I really love the words and how you tied them into, you know, whether it's people's careers or businesses, but we as women can definitely innovate better, navigate our business and careers better, and that leads to acceleration of results, right? I love it. How could you leave us with something, you know, that's powerful or inspiring, or give us a couple, one slice of advice that you think all of us as women should know based on your journey and your leadership perspective?
You know, my biggest thing I think is so simple. It's really just finding your voice and practicing and, you know, getting used to that exposure. And it wasn't easy for me early on, and I always look for mentors and so forth. I mean, the grocery industry for a woman of color is very tough, and no one looked like me. And so I, no matter what I did, even in this business I'm in now, owning my own business, find your voice and own your voice. That's what I would say to anybody, no matter what level you're on, starting out or CEO, find and own your voice. That was the life-changing part for me personally. When I found it, I used it, and I owned it.
And, you know, well, first of all, well, bam, you should just say bam, drop the mic. It's like, that was powerful. And you're very inspirational. But, you know, I think what's fascinating about you, and then we'll wrap up here, dear, but it's like, honestly, it's like so many people think of these kind of hardcore tactics for women. And what I love about some of the things you shared in the show were that you were just like, you know, be kind, be respectful, but, you know, own what was your idea. I just, again, great nuggets. You're an amazing leading lady. I hope you and I talk again. And to our listeners, I want to say thank you for your loyalty. You know, we're here every Friday afternoon at 2 and Mondays at 9 a.m. for Women Lead Radio. And my challenge to all of us as professional women, is what are you doing to empower and support other women? So be part of us and be a champion of supporting other women. Sabrina, thank you for being our leading lady. And to our listeners, you
thank
have
you.
A great weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.